Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to the Tonecast. We're on episode 12 this week, and this week was really fun. We got to talk with Matt Walker of Copeland Guitars, and we're just excited for you to kind of hear that interview. It was a lot of fun. So thanks for, you know, showing up. Thanks for tuning in. Brian, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good.
Awesome.
I think you got to answer the question. You can't just ask me another
question. You asked me how I'm doing. I said I'm good.
Okay. Whatever. Whatever.
Well, we had an interesting, speaking of conversations, we have some great interaction in our Tone Community Facebook page lately. And one of the things that we had some questions about was Jazzmaster pickups.
Yeah.
We've had a couple people asking, hey, you know, what should I do about this Jazzmaster? I'm looking for this sound. And really, we have a lot of choices for Jazzmaster. And,
it's true.
You know, so we thought we would just kind of touch quickly on some of the Jazzmaster options that we have. We have, you know, our traditional Jazzmasters. We have a vintage wind and a modern wind. Vintage wind is Alnico 2 magnets. Modern is Alnico 5. And then we have a J90, which is a Jazzmaster P90 kind of version. Each of those, we have a vintage modern wind of those. So that's going to give you more output, more kind of punch. And then we have our WRJM, which is the kind of the wide range Jazzmaster form fit thing. I think we'll probably have a Jazzmaster specific show, but kind of maybe, if you wouldn't mind, Derek, you have one of the shop Jazzmasters.
I do. And
you've tried like pretty much every combo of our Jazzmasters in there. So what are some of your favorites?
Yeah, it's been really fun because I don't think before I got this, we've never had a Jazzmaster in the shop. So it was kind of fun because over a period of like 2 months, I think we put almost every single pickup we make in that guitar. And I have to say, the J90s really stuck out to me just because I've always loved that just punchy rock and roll kind of vibe. But it's all kind of, I think for me, it's all about what you're looking for. You know, the traditional Jazzmasters, they cover such a wide range, you know, really warm up, do that jazz thing as it were, but they can also be nice and gritty. They're definitely, you know, way more powered than most single coils, obviously because of the form factor. Up to the J90s that are a lot more powerful, give you that kind of classic P90, really gritty, really just kind of, and I feel like that works inside of the big body, you know, big solid body guitar. It just is a lot of fun. And the WRJMs, they've been a really fun little experiment, as it were. I don't know. They turned out really cool. I don't know how else to say, you know, they give a lot more of that humbucker vibe, but the wide keep the characteristic of our other wide ranges, which are kind of that clarity and
they kind of sit in an interesting realm. So they're a humbucker, but they're not like overpowering. Yeah. So they kind of have some of the single coil elements to it. They still have like the snap and the kind of the airy clarity to them as well. So hopefully,
that hum canceling vibe is, you know, that's
sure.
great. It really makes it a lot more manageable in a lot more situations.
Yeah. So we'll have to go down the Jazzmaster road in a future Tonecast. I think we could probably spend a whole entire show just kind of going through each of those sets. Yeah. And if you get a chance, head to our products page and click on Jazzmaster pickups, and you'll be able to kind of listen to some of the sound clips and some of the, you know, just everything kind of about that, the descriptions and kind of what to expect from each of those models.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this week, like I said, we had an opportunity to sit down with Matt Walker. He's the owner of Copeland Guitars, and let's go ahead and just cut right over to that interview.
Well, hey, Matt, thanks for being on the Tonecast today. We're really happy to have you. Matt Walker with Copeland Guitars is with us today. Matt, why don't you go ahead and just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your company.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. I'm a one-man shop based out of Austin, Texas. I've been doing this for about 2.5 years now. I mainly pretty much just take custom orders from people. People send me what they're thinking about, and we go back and forth, and I try to build them, you know, that guitar they've had in their mind. So that's pretty much the gist of how I'm set up.
Very cool. Yeah, awesome. So you've been doing this for a couple years, and kind of what's been your journey kind of as a guitar maker?
Yeah, well, you know, I kind of got into the game pretty late. Just to kind of give you a little bit of background of me and kind of where I come from, I started playing guitar as a teenager, like a lot of people. It was back in the 90s, so Nirvana and Smashing Pumpkins, all that kind of stuff. And played nonstop through high school, but then when I went to college, I realized that I couldn't really play music and make good grades. So I set the guitar down for the duration of going to school and got 2 degrees, a bachelor's and a master's degree in civil engineering, and proceeded down a path of doing commercial construction, and did that for about 6 years and realized it just wasn't what I was hoping it would be. I've always liked to create and build things, but building big projects like that, you don't really have that sense of accomplishment that you built it. You know, you're just part of a bigger thing. And so I walked away from that and decided to go a different direction, and in a way kind of circled back around to the guitar thing. It was music's always been something I've been interested in, and since I didn't really play it and I never got that good as a guitarist, I was trying to find another way to be exposed to that part of what I was interested in. And I finally kind of pulled the guitar back out, tinkered with it a little bit, and started going on message boards and seeing people that were modifying their instruments, and thought that was cool. So started doing some of that myself, and then saw the guys building from scratch and got jealous of them. So I decided to give that a shot as well, and realized that I really, really enjoyed it. So I started, you know, building guitars for myself, and realized that I didn't want to just build two or three of these things, and I can't build a whole collection for myself. So I started reaching out to some friends and seeing if I could build for them, and that's kind of how it started. I built some guitars for other people, and they seemed to enjoy them, and so I kind of took that next step and started offering out to people I didn't know, and the last 2 years has kind of seen that grow a little bit more.
That's awesome. It's always cool to hear kind of start stories and that kind of stuff. It's great. I think the music industry is so cool because so many guys are kind of getting that start in a similar way. It's very organic and it's very kind of just natural for a lot of people. It's always fun to hear.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's one of those things I just couldn't deny it to myself that the music and playing guitar was just pulling at me. And I was kind of going down a path of this other career that I thought I was supposed to do. And just, it wasn't, you know, making me happy. So trying to find something that's a little bit more of a happy medium that I can do something I like, that makes me happy, but then, you know, can also provide and have a little bit of income is, you know, that's the ultimate goal for me.
That's great.
Yeah, that's great, man. I think like some of the company owners that we've interviewed have all kind of very similar stories. And a lot of them are like exactly what you say. You make a few and you're like, you know, either try to convince your buddies to buy one, or they maybe want to buy one from you. And you're like, man, this could work. You know, I could sell a couple of these. And, you know, I think when I first started doing Porter pickups, it was like I built a couple different Tele sets, I think it was. And I talked to a few friends and I was like, man, would you just try this out? What do you think? And one guy was like, man, I really like this sound. I really love what you did. And I was like, are you just saying that because you're, you know, are you just saying that because you're my friend? You don't want to hurt my feelings, or do you really like it? He's like, no, I really like it. And so that's awesome that we, you know, have a very similar kind of story in that, in the sense of like, you know, we have this guitar sort of addiction and we try to, you know, maximize that into maybe a job at some point. You know, that's the goal.
Exactly.
So I'm curious about the name Copeland. Why'd you choose that name and kind of some stories behind that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it confuses a lot of people because they assume it's my last name, which is not. And I have a lot of people like on Facebook whose last name is Copeland making comments that, you know, because it matches their name, which is cool. But it's actually my 3-year-old son's middle name. I just like the name Copeland, and I chose that as his middle name. And when I started this, it was just kind of paying homage to him, but also kind of gave me this huge goal of maybe one day creating something that he can take over. And so every time I see the name, that's what I think is, you know, I want to make this into something that he can maybe one day take over.
Very cool. That's awesome.
That's really great. So in your lineup, you got a lot of stuff going on. What's kind of some of your favorite parts, favorite things you've got in your lineup? Maybe also tell us a little bit about, I saw a painted with fire finish. What's that all about? Yeah.
Well, the painted with fire finish is, you know, it's nothing I can claim that I came up with. The other people have been doing it for a long time. But it's just simply, instead of putting any kind of stain or paint on the body, you just take a torch to it and you char it. And, you know, there's a process there that I don't need to go through the whole process, but basically it creates a nice organic finish. You know, it's kind of like stain in that you still see the wood grain, you still see the uniqueness of each individual piece of wood that you're working with. But it's just something that you know, I was able to put that Painted with Fire term on it and kind of sell it like that. And I did one just for myself, just for fun, to see how it turned out, and it got some attention. And it's actually become my most popular finish. Almost, I'd say 80% of the people that reach out to me for a build, that's what they're looking at and that's what they're looking for. And so it's really turned out to be a really cool thing for me, and I love doing it because, like I said, everyone is unique and it's just a little bit different. You know, a painted guitar looks great. It looks, you know, flashy and smooth, and I like doing those finishes as well, but there's just something about that Painted with Fire that just makes it more organic that I'm really drawn to.
Nice. So I have a suggestion for you that you could take this Painted with Fire one step further. Okay, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Painted with Fireworks. So literally set the body up kind of by the corner of a room and light a firework and throw it at it. And whatever happens, like on the patterns and all that stuff, then that is the new Painted with Fireworks. Boom. So
hey, I like it.
I expect a little bit of royalties from that, but I really would love to see it.
I will definitely let you know.
I think it could be good. I don't know. It just came to me as like a moment of inspiration. So feel free to like throw that in the trash, you know, as far as the idea. But if it does ever take off, you know, I want a little bit of a shout out for it.
I will definitely give you all the credit.
We have a big bin of those ideas just laying around the shop. Exactly. So
those are Brian's crazy ideas, and then Derek's like, that is just kind of lame, actually. So go ahead and throw that out. So, but yeah, if it happens, it needs to be on Instagram. So those of you that follow either us or Copeland Guitars on Instagram, you can see that. Maybe it'll come out someday.
I'm thinking that could make a good 4th of July post right there.
Oh, that would be good. Yeah. Or if it's like some, you know, some piece of wood or a body that isn't going to make the cut, you could try Painted with Fireworks and then
there you go.
And then see, you know, if it became something awesome or not. So I don't know. It's just an idea, but we should probably move on. So I'm curious, like we ask a lot of our company owners and things like that, kind of inspiration. What inspires you to play guitar? Like just kind of as a guitar player, you know, what was the reason you picked up guitar in the first place? Because everyone kind of has a unique story and a unique kind of journey, you know, whether it was like we all love guitar first and then a company came out of it, or you started playing in a band or whatever it was. So kind of walk us through that, like what made you pick up a guitar and that kind of first experience with guitar.
Yeah, definitely. Really what it was me trying to mimic my older brother. My brother's 4 years older than me, and he was in high school at the time and was playing guitar, and being the annoying little brother I was, I would, you know, try to follow his footsteps and jump in on that. So I picked it up basically because he had picked it up, and did that for a few years. And around that same time is when I found Nirvana and other alternative bands that had songs that weren't so difficult for someone like me to learn. And that's where it all started. Went through high school. I'd say my guitar playing peaked at my high school talent show. That's pretty much the top of my guitar playing abilities was probably back then, because soon after I put it down for a while. And so since then, since I've picked it back up, one thing that I've kind of taught myself is how to play with a little more nuance, you know, not just play through my distortion pedals and play grunge music and stuff, and force myself to just plug straight into an amp and explore the characteristics of different types of amps. And that's led me to buy some vintage amps and just have a variety on hand to kind of play around with. But, you know, I'm a hobby player. I'm not a professional. I haven't played live in front of people since I was 18. And so I don't really come at it so much from the guitarist standpoint. It's definitely something I enjoy. It's a good stress reliever, but you know, I'm not a gear-obsessed guy like a lot of the other guys in this industry. To me, I build because I really like music, and I like seeing what these other guys who are way more talented than me, what they can do with it. So seeing, you know, some of the bands that I've built guitars for, seeing them up on stage creating music, you know, performing their art with something that I created, that's it for me. It's not about me picking it up and playing it myself. It's actually more about seeing other guys pick them up and doing their things with them.
That's very cool. I think that's pretty similar to us, and kind of like you know, what's our job as a gear company. And I think I talked to one company owner at NAMM a couple of years ago, and he's like, we're competing against like PlayStation and all the other things that people use with their time, you know. And it's like guitar has like left a permanent imprint on all of us in a different way. And it's like, you know, those of us that create gear are actually able to, you know, when we see that other people like taking the gear that we made and doing these inspiring things, I mean, I think that's just awesome. Kind of along those lines, I'm curious, you know, maybe some of the artists who play your guitars, maybe you could mention some of those and that you have on your roster.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I got kind of lucky in the way that I got my first exposure to some touring musicians, and a friend of mine that I've been friends with since high school, he was in the same band and talent show with me that I mentioned, has gone on. He's stayed in the music world more than I have, and he's played in some bands, but then he became a tour manager of a band out of Glasgow called the Twilight Sad. And he's introduced me to them, and I was at one of their shows and just kind of hanging out with them in the green room not long after I started building some guitars. And I was talking to Andy, the guitarist, and just told him, hey man, I would love to build something for you. And he was interested. And so fast forward a little bit, I've built three guitars and one bass for Andy and then Johnny, the bass player of the Twilight Sad. And those guys have done a really great job of kind of spreading the word for me to their, you know, fellow musicians that they see out on the road. And so it's kind of created an interesting thing for me, which is I have several Glasgow based artists that use my stuff. Another band called Frightened Rabbit, built a guitar and a bass for them. And also Mike Vinart, who was of a band, he used to be in a band called Oceansize before they broke up, and he's done a solo project, but right now he's the live guitarist for a band out of Scotland called Biffy Clyro. And recently I was able to build a guitar for him, and he's going to be touring with that guitar when Biffy comes to the U.S. here in a couple months. And that's really exciting for me because Biffy Clyro is actually one of my favorite bands in the world. So that's been a lot of fun. And then recently I've been talking to Philip, the lead singer of a band called Pause, P-A-W-S, out of Glasgow as well. And they're coming through town, through Austin for South by Southwest in March. So I'm working on a project for him that I hope to deliver to him when he comes through. So all those guys are based out of the UK, which is kind of crazy for me being here in Austin. But domestically, there's a band out of San Diego called Little Hurricane that I met a couple years ago, and I built a guitar for Tone Catalano, the lead singer of that band. And then another project I'm working on currently, which is maybe one of my most exciting ones, is Jeff Schroeder, who's the guitarist for the Smashing Pumpkins. You know, circling back to how I started playing guitar, and you know, the Smashing Pumpkins is one of those bands, and to think that this many years later I'm building a guitar for him, that's really crazy. So I'm excited about that one as well.
Yeah, that's exciting. I know. I grew up listening to Smashing Pumpkins, so I'm stoked for you.
Yeah.
That's kind of one of those little meet your hero moments. That's fun.
Exactly.
That is pretty cool. So along kind of with that artist theme, something we've been, you know, within our shop walls, we've had these discussions, but also with other artists that we've had, you know, conversations with. It's kind of like, you know, as a builder, like, what is your perspective on having artists and kind of that artist relation thing, and what makes a good artist to have on your roster? Kind of, would you kind of just touch on a little bit of all that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, like I kind of said about my motivation for building, you know, seeing somebody up there create with one of my creations, and when it's a band that I grew up with, you know, that definitely holds a lot of weight to it. And there's just an aspect of that that makes me happy inside that is worth something to me. But, you know, generally speaking, it's one of those things that has to be mutually beneficial. You know, I have guys that reach out and ask me if I'll build them something because they're an artist. And, you know, I don't ever like to judge people or anything, but when their reach, when they don't get out and their social media reach and their live performance reach is not very big, you know, it's just isn't as beneficial to me. And it takes me a lot of time to build a guitar and, you know, a lot of money on my end for me to create one. So it's a constant battle of, you know, weighing it out that at minimum, it needs to kind of be equal to both of us for me to do that. But saying that, yeah, I've given some bands some good deals on stuff, but, you know, generally they're paying me for them and they're getting a discount because I get something out of the marketing from it. And each one I kind of assess on its own merits each time somebody asks me.
That's great. I think that's definitely, it's the kind of this perspective that we're finding a lot of times is just kind of, I don't know who we were talking to. Maybe it was Steve or someone else. I'm not sure. In a recent podcast, just about kind of, you know, it's funny because when I know for me, when I was young and playing guitar, and it was the same when I was talking to him, you know, it's like, oh, I really want to get sponsored. And like, you don't really even think about why sponsorships exist. You just know that you want one, right? And then right. You get to that point where you're like, oh, I understand now, like, this actually helps a company. And so if I can't help a company, then, like, I don't necessarily get to have a sponsorship.
Exactly.
It is, you know, it's a great role, but at the same time, you're right. You have to be able to offer as much as the company has to offer back, you know?
Right.
That's really great. Well, for you as a guitar builder, you know, you got some beautiful guitars and, I just wonder a little bit kind of what are some of the build elements that you really consider to be the most important part of your builds?
Yeah. I mean, for me, since I pretty much just build custom for people, my goal is just building them what they want. And that varies quite a bit from person to person. Cause I have the people that reach out to me that say, you know, I want this guitar with this list of specs, and they have it all planned out down to the tuners, you know, and that's great. You know, I'm happy to build that for them, and that's what they want. They know what they want, but more often somebody writes and they say, I want, you know, something in this kind of style, but I don't really know what else needs to go into it. And so I'll talk them through, okay, what kind of music do you play? What, you know, what gear do you use? And let's pick some pickups based on that and kind of just build it around what they want to use it for. And it's always about them for me. You know, since I'm building custom right now, I don't have models that I just put up on my storefront right now. That's one of my goals, is to do that if I can get caught up. But, you know, currently, if I can just get them the guitar that they had in their mind and that serves their purposes, then that I've been successful in doing that. And so that's really the main goal that I have. And I try to do, you know, people come to me sometimes with a guitar that, you know, is basically exactly like something that one of the larger manufacturers offers. And I have to explain to them, man, I can't compete with Fender's prices. You know, you need to just go to Guitar Center and pick that up if that's what you want. It's when people want to change it up a little bit and put some pickups in it that, you know, you've never seen in a Jaguar style guitar or, you know, something like that. Or they have their own unique body shape that they like, this is what's been in my head. Can you do this? Yeah, I can take that on. And it's always about the end user, but when that person wants something that is too similar to something that's already offered, you know, just the nature of being a one-man shop, I can't compete with the prices of somebody that mass produces guitars, and I'm honest with them about that. And there's been a few people, unfortunately, I have to kind of turn away because what they're looking for is beyond my current capabilities, and there's no reason for me to take on a project that's outside of my abilities because I'm not going to be able to get them what they want. So, you know, that's just part of the process. I usually go back and forth with the people for a good 2 weeks of daily emails, sorting everything out before I even start a project to make sure we're all on the same page and that we're going in the same direction.
Absolutely. I think that's awesome. It's a really, shows a lot of wisdom and a lot of what you do and that kind of stuff. You know, we get so many people, you talk to a lot of people who, you know, whether they're asking or we talk to other people who have had this question asked of them, but a lot of people are kind of saying, hey, you know, like I want to build guitars or I want to build, you know, pedals or whatever. How do I get into this industry? What have you found as kind of ways to get the word out about your company? I mean, in this day and age, it seems like there's, you know, a guitar builder or a pedal builder or an amp builder on every corner anymore. What kind of have you seen as successful ways to get the word out about your business?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting because in so many ways it's easier than it's ever been to get the thing that I'm creating out to the world via social media and stuff like that. Yet at the same time, there's so many people doing it that you have to then try to stand out in that crowd. And, you know, for me, I try to create an overall feel, you know, so Instagram is by far my most popular method of getting everything out. And that's where I have the most followers. And so, you know, I try to just be cohesive about the image that I'm putting out there and not throw any curveballs to people who follow me. You know, you kind of learn what the people following you like to see and the types of pictures and stuff. And I try to stick to that and give them what they want. But at the same time, I'm, you know, still doing my thing and presenting my work. So that getting the word out like that is just, it's been the easiest thing, but kind of the slowest thing as well. It's not hard to post pictures, but at the same time, you got to stay on top of it and engage with people. When people write me and ask me questions, I write back, and, you know, I try to always respond to people that have specific questions or comments and be engaging. And a lot of those people, I think, like that they kind of have that behind the scenes access in a way to the person that's creating, and just trying to keep myself out there like that. And also customer service, you know, a lot of the people that have bought guitars for me at the end, they just talk about how pleasant the process was and that they enjoyed, you know, when I would offer my help and steering them in a direction when they were unsure, and just overall making the process smooth for them and staying on top of what they're trying to get out of it. And, you know, with each build, I'm sending update photos, you know, a couple times a week to the people to show them basically the process of their guitar being created. And that goes a long way, that at the end of the day, they feel like they were a part of the process. And that helps give it, makes it more likely that that person's then going to go out and do some word of mouth for you and tell their friends about it and steer people in your direction. So, you know, all those things combined, social media to push my image out there, but then taking care of my customers and getting them to talk, you know, highly of me and my product afterwards, put those two things together. And, you know, over some time, you start seeing emails roll in and people who I was talking to so-and-so and they told me to come your direction. And that's kind of how it's been able to grow for me. And, you know, just it's a slow process. It's not always easy. And there's times that you kind of feel like it's not worth it, but you know, it seems like every time that I'm frustrated and things are slowing down, all of a sudden I get a huge break, like, you know, getting to build a guitar for the Smashing Pumpkins, you know? And so that kind of stuff makes it tedious, but at the same time, it's rewarding to know that I've built it myself. And, you know, I'm a one-man guy, so everything you see on social media, it's all me. And so the fact that I can look back and see it, what I've kind of put together over the past 2.5 years has been pretty awesome. And that's motivating in and of itself.
That's great, man. I think it's funny, like as a gear company, you're like trying to, you know, figure out how to stay relevant or stand out in the midst of all those different choices. And sometimes it comes back to what you're saying. It comes back to customer service. It comes back to just trying to be as authentic as you can about how you sell your product and how you represent yourself and all that. And, you know, there's a lot of choices. You know, there's a million people that maybe want to buy a guitar, or a set of pickups or whatever it might be. And those kind of things, you know, comes back to that just word, authentic word of mouth and all that stuff, which creates that kind of cool, you know, collaboration where it's like, you know, some of your customers end up becoming friends and, you know, you see that they also are sharing your guitar and you know, this one guy that referred you down the road, like that's awesome. You know, it just becomes like this, you know, fast growing sort of thing there.
And real quick, I'd like to say also, I mean, just from looking back the other direction towards you guys, I mean, that's one of the biggest reasons that I come back to you guys over and over. I mean, you do great stuff. You put out very high quality pickups and, you know, there's other people that put out high quality stuff as well, but it's that personal interaction and just knowing that if I have a question or a concern or a problem, I reach out to you and I get a response. You know, you don't get that working with, you know, huge companies that I don't need the name, but you know, you know, that personal relationship that is created even between the builder and then manufacturers like yourself is the same. The reason I come back to you guys, the same reason people come back to me with guitars, you know, and it's that community that's created. And I have a lot of people who write me and they're going through the specs of their guitars and they ask for my opinion on, you know, what kind of pickups to go after. And there's going to be a very high likelihood that I'm going to recommend a company like yours because that's who I like to work with, and I know I'm going to get a good product out of it.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that, man. And it's a, you know, it is a mutually beneficial thing. You know, it's like kind of like we really all, even, you know, people within our own industry that we might consider like competitors, we're all kind of the same in the sense of that we do have, you know, similar passions and we want to see this succeed. And you know, those relationships and those connections are all super valuable. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of old school in the way that like you can connect with people and make all that stuff. But now we have greater opportunities. Like I would have never probably found out about your company if it weren't for Instagram and your stuff getting out about Instagram. And so it's kind of crazy how that kind of all works together.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Instagram has been great just because, I mean, where else can you have something that's free that you can get the word out so easily with, you know? I mean, it's just such a great tool for what we do. And it's fun to get on there because you get to meet other people as well. I mean, I've gotten to meet, like you said, other, I guess some people call them competitors. I don't really see it that way. Just other guitar builders who, you know, each of us do our own little thing. And I've had other builders somebody's come to them with a certain idea for a build and they've pointed them to me because they thought it was more kind of the thing I do. And I've done the same. I've pointed people in other directions if it's something that's not really, you know, what my abilities cover. So just that community that has all come from social media and turned into a real thing is pretty awesome.
Yeah, very cool. Well, could you mention, speaking of social media, could you mention kind of for those that are listening to this and may have not followed you on social media, could you kind of give us all your website, your Instagram information, all that stuff so people can find you?
Yeah, definitely. Instagram at Copeland_guitars. And then it's just facebook.com/CopelandGuitars. And then www.CopelandGuitarsTX.com.
Very cool. And we'll make sure to put those in our podcast extra stuff as well. So for those who are listening on iTunes or Podbean Player, you can go to our website under the community tab and click on the Tonecast. And when you see the Copeland Guitars play button there, we'll have a link to the website and all that stuff as well. So again, Matt, appreciate having you on the show today. And I'm going to hold you to that painted with fireworks thing. I got to come back to it. I can't let it go.
I was going to say, you're really, really fixated on that painted with fireworks. I think it could be huge.
Because if you think about, I'm going to go off on this for a minute.
Here's the justification.
If you don't mind, all right? Because, you know, as a business owner, your wheels are always turning and you have to kind of let them turn even if they're going to roll off a cliff. So we're gonna go with this for just a minute, if you don't mind, Matt.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay.
This is where we put in our headphones and just let them talk for a while.
Yeah, you guys can just unplug. I'm gonna go for a little bit here. No, just all kidding aside though, if you took a firework, I'm just thinking like, you know those painters that get paid millions of dollars to like throw paint at a canvas and people are like, that's so amazing. Or like they give an elephant a paintbrush and it paints the canvas and people are like, that's the most amazing artwork I've ever seen. I just think if you threw the fireworks out there and created like all the explosion patterns on it, like a piece of wood, it could be cool.
It would be.
I mean,
I would pay good money to have a guitar built for me where I get to go and like hold the Roman candle. Ooh, yeah, and, you good. Know, hit the guitar myself. That'd be good. We can go for this.
I expect to see an attempt. Are fireworks illegal in Texas? I don't know.
No, they're legal.
Okay,
cool. Everything's legal in Texas.
Yeah, I was gonna say. See, we're really dry, so it's like anything that like shoots off the ground is not good. But if it's kind of like one of those wimpy little sparklers or something, like it's fine, you know. But if it's anything really fun, it's not cool. So.
It's true.
So you'll have to buy those and you'll have to do it. I was going to buy you something and send it to you, but yeah. So
that's all right. I'll put something together. I'll keep this in mind.
Okay. I'm just saying, you know, you try it on scrap first. Like everyone says, like, you know, do an experiment first, right? Yes. Don't try it on the Smashing Pumpkins guy's guitar or anything like exactly. That. You know, I don't know. I just think it could be cool, you know, and for our like, 40 listeners on this podcast, maybe they'll be holding you to it. You know, maybe weekly they'll be like, hey, where's that fireworks guitar?
So. Oh, I'm anticipating tons of emails coming in. With this
request. We are now calling on the Porter Nation to hold Matt accountable.
I don't know. I think it could be huge. And even if it's just a spoof, there'll be one guy that's like completely inspired by it, and you'll sell a guitar.
Hey, that's awesome. Yeah.
So we could do the pickups, like painted with fire pickups or fireworks. Sorry. We could do that. We could like, I don't know. We'll figure
that side out.
Yeah, maybe not on the podcast, but we should explore this idea further, I think.
Definitely. I see great potential.
I do too. Well, thanks, Matt, so much for being on the show again today. And we just appreciate having you. And hopefully those who are listening can find out, you know, just more about the great guitars that you're building.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I had a good time.
All right. So on our next show, we're going to be talking with Steve Sterlacci. He's one of our artists and the guitarist for the Jessica Lynn Band. He's a touring musician, and we're going to have a great conversation with him kind of about the life of a touring musician and kind of an artist in today's music age. And so look forward to seeing you guys and having you guys on the show next weekend. So be looking for that in episode 13.
Well, thanks again so much for listening. If you'd like to hear more about the podcast or see some of the extras, go ahead and head over to porterpickups.com. You can click on the community tab, and there you'll find the Tonecast. We've got lots of extras for some of our episodes, as well as the rest of the episodes if you'd like to get caught up on what we're doing. Be sure to also join our Facebook Tone Community group, Porter Pickups Tone Community, and you can find us on iTunes or Podbean or wherever else you find your podcasts. So thanks a lot. We'll talk to you later.